Now, some of you may be fishermen. Others of you may be hunters. Some of you may play tennis or, what is that thing called, pickleball. I've always wondered, is that a dill pickle or a sweet pickle? I don't know. Pickleball or different activities. And some days we just enjoy it because we've had success. You know, there's supper in the basket with all the fish, or we brought home a deer or something, fowl or something to eat. I mean, it's a bird, not a fowl, something to eat, but a bird or something like that. And sometimes we don't. It comes back with no results at all. And when somebody asks you, how'd you do? You say, well, I did well. I got to see the sun, beautiful breeze. We weren't successful the way people count success. Paul said our missionary journey to y'all was successful. Now, the place where they had been before, they were brutally treated, technically run out of their own town that they were trying to service. But it didn't let them stop them. See, I think too easy we give up. Now, if you know me, I am not coordinated at all. I just don't have any coordination. So they said, well, we'll put you in easy class in high school. I don't know where you're going. So they put me in typing class. I was really good. I could type 10 whole words a minute with only about 9 or 10 mistakes. After about 2 weeks, the teacher said, you're really ruining my record. I suggest you go and work in the office or something like that. And I was thrilled, too, because my fingers hurt all the time when I tried it. You know what? The computer didn't help any. I just can erase it a lot better now. But sometimes we try things really, really hard, and we're not successful. We say, oh, what's the use? I just give up. How sad that would be for us if Jesus or the apostles or the later church leaders or even the people that help us today gave up when they weren't. What are we doing here, Colin? I got to keep on the motion. I got to march like them military guys. If we just gave up when something got hard to do, we just said, it's not worth the effort. Well, I'm falling apart. I'm going to electrify myself. So we can't be that way. If so, the gospel would not have been spread in the first decades after Jesus' ascension. And Paul says, we were successful there. I guess maybe that old Christian song, count your blessings, count them one by one. It didn't say count them by the gross. It didn't say count them by the thousands or the micro, whatever, micro, whatever. It didn't say that at all. Count your blessings one by one. We need to find out what to be happy about. Too many people are saddened over things they cannot control or they don't even care to try to make better. That makes us our own failures in our own minds. Paul wasn't that way. Neither should we allow that to happen to us. We need to be energized and we need to be excited. We had previously suffered and treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But now the next line I've got underlined in my Bible. But with the help of God, we dared to tell you his gospel in face of strong opposition. Sincerely, one person with God is a majority. Not a minority, it's a majority. Because if we're doing God's will and allow him to work through us, we will be successful. Maybe not in our own eyes. And maybe success is judged by the people we help and we affect and we grow. If you've ever taught school or tried to teach someone, like a little league coach or something like that, or you're trying to teach a class on baking with the 4-H, I have all four pins of the 4-H. Didn't burn that cake once. Let me tell you, sometimes we don't notice our success till it's down the road. But the people we affect and the people we help, they notice. They remember what we've done. And if they know it, then God knows it. And if God knows it, that's all that counts. Now, in the military, and rightfully so, you will see some badges and some stars and some colored things that I do not understand and some ribbons and all that, showing what you've accomplished. You know, from the Good Citizen Award. Do Marines ever get Good Citizens Award? No, they do. They kick them out? put them in the army, huh? That is not written. I was accidentally. Colin, speak for yourself. All right, that's we still have dinner to do today, so don't let me go too long. By the way, we're having dinner after this, and you're all invited, but I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to ask our veterans to go first. Where was I? Let's see here. Sometimes with opposition, we just give up, and that's not what we should, because every time we give up, the devil wins. The first 2.5 years of battle in the Revolutionary War, we either tied or lost every battle. Going into Valley Forge, Washington's group had one tie and got thumped twice. Now, had they got into Valley Forge and said, you know what, this ain't worth it, I'm going back and milk cows, we'd all be having tea at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with crumpets, whatever a crumpet is. We've got to say, I'm not giving up. Because God is not giving up on us, and God is not giving up on our country. And we need to say, Lord, what can we do to help those around us and to make this life better? Paul did that. Doesn't work in this town, I'm going to the next town. It worked in that town, I'm going to the next town. It doesn't work there, I'm going somewhere else. They stoned me, I'm going somewhere else. I'm not giving up. And when we take that on, God will count us as faithful and successful. On the contrary, he says, I'm not trying to trick you, but we speak as those approved by God. Well, now, I remember years ago, there used to be a commercial area called the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Y'all here? Remember magazines that far back? You know what you had to do to get the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval? You had to advertise in the Good Housekeeping book. That's all. You bought an advertisement, you got their seal of approval. Were they tested or not, I don't know. We're not going after the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. We're going after God's seal of approval. And the standards are different. And it's our responsibility to meet those standards. But first of all, it's our responsibility to find those standards. How do we find them? It's already in the manual. It's not that hard to find. The Old Testament says it, the New Testament says it, and we're to live it. And we can be nothing but successful in God's eyes if we follow his path. Yeah, but I see these people, they're famous and they're rich and everybody knows them. And Beck and I was talking on the way back from our class reunion, our 50th class reunion. I said, which of the couples would you trade places with? We've got some millionaires in our group, former pro baseball and football players and all. Which group would you trade with? She looked around, and I wasn't even driving. She looked around and said, none of them. Because we can be satisfied with what we do, and you can be satisfied with what you do as long as you're doing God's will. And that's extremely important. On the contrary, we speak from those who are approved by God, entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. We know, you know, we never use flattery. Nor will he put a mask on covering up greed, for God is our witness. We're not looking on praise from people, not from any of you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could be assertive with our authority. Instead, we're like young children among you. I'm not going to be the boss, Paul says, though I have the ability and authority to do that. I'm going to be young and simple and trying to serve. You know how it is when a young child is pleased by something you've done or bragged on or something like that, and how excited they get. That's the way we should be. Archduke Ferdinand. Remember that name? Have you ever studied that name? It was really a whole lot of nothing. Third or fourth or fifth in line of Austria. But the Serbians did not like the way they were being treated by the Austrians. So they assassinated him and his wife one fateful day. And those who were looking for a reason to be upset found it. And so a war was begun. Now please don't say the First World War had begun, because it wasn't called the First World War, because we hadn't had the Second World War yet. It was called the Great War. The Great War was begun. And Germany invaded under the Kaiser Wilhelm. And it was terrible. And for multiple years, death rang supreme. 15 million people were killed in that war to end all wars. And it wasn't until late in 18 that the Germans found that they could handle us no more. The Americans came in involved. And it was not a pretty war. There was mustard gas. There was all kind of things that are illegal in war now. But they got together about 26, 27 miles from Paris, France, and they signed a treaty that on the 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th hour, there shall be declared an armistice, an end of war. They were a little train carriage, they called them carriages, and there the Germans and the French and the British signed it, and war was ended. Now, it was several days later that the actual Paris Peace Treaty was signed, but the Armistice Day, and the bells rang, and the remembrance of what we're trying to forget about was soon wiped out. We were happy and we were singing. Matter of fact, if you've lived in the country or up in the mountains, or yesterday Becky said even at Publix, you recognize that? That's a poppy. There was a lot of fighting in Belgium. And for some reason, when they know the reason now, that in Belgium, during that period of time, poppies began to grow everywhere. They said it was all the bombs and the artillery shells that hit the ground had stirred and loosened the dirt up, and the seeds began to propagate, and poppies were everywhere. There was a young captain who saw his best friend blown up by a military shell, and he was asked to bring the funeral that next day because the chaplain was out of town. He did it, and then he wrote for that song, "On Flanders Field Where Poppies Grow, and the gravesides row by row." And every year at Memorial Day and at Veterans Day, I have to think of that, for those who died and were left behind, never to be seen by their family again. One of the unknown soldiers from there was buried in Washington at the Tomb of the Unknown, and several of them were buried in Paris, London, and that area, for us to remember the war that would be the end of all wars. But then it got bad again, and Hitler came along. And when Hitler came along, he wreaked havoc in the known world. You see, about 1920, we had a little visitor from Europe, actually from Spain. It's called a Spanish flu. You ever remember the flu? The first influenza case came from the war. My great-grandmother died for that flu. She just had a baby and couldn't recover. And America was shocked again by what went on. Woodrow Wilson was asked to, but didn't. Calvin Coolidge was pushed to declare the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th hour has been a celebration of the armistice of peace. 8 years later, the Congress approved it. So in the 1930s, we began to celebrate Armistice Day. Then Hitler came along and did his thing, and I think you've probably heard enough about that. And after it was over with, in 1948, a sergeant in the U.S. Army went and petitioned to the leadership, the military leadership, a change of the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. It wasn't until 1954 when Ike, the General Eisenhower, had been the president for 2 years, that it was actually pushed through, and we began to recognize all veterans of all wars of all time for what they had done. Then the politicians got involved. And the 11th day of the 11th hour, or the 11th month, became the second Monday of November, so we could have a holiday for federal employees. Now, if you're a federal employee, God bless you, but to change a celebration date for our veterans is reaching it for Dwight. And from then on, we have, but not enough, I don't believe, honored our veterans. My papa had two brothers served in World War I. One was gassed in Belgium by mustard gas. And he took me to every Veterans Day parade there was as long as he lived because he thought it was important. He was too young to go, but he thought it was important. I think it's important for us, as Paul is talking about the past, for us as well as we talk about the past, to honor those who's given so much. I heard a guy say, it was Thursday I was talking, he said, well, I was in the military, but I was in the peacetime. I said, son, let me ask you a question. I was younger than he was. Did you sleep in your bed every night? No. Did your mama's cooking every night? No. Did you go to the movie when you wanted to? What movie? And I asked him about a dozen questions. Could you go here, go there? No. I said, so you were in this man's army or Navy or Marines or Air Force? He said, yeah. I said, son, you have every right to march in those parades and to wear that uniform and be saluted and be thanked. So let's do that this week. Let's find a veteran. You've seen good night, a goodly number. I didn't even get a count, but a goodly number here today. Thank them. And veterans, take it as appreciation. Take it as we care and love and thank you. Paul had to teach the Christians there in Thessalonica a good accomplishment should be recognized and enjoyed. And I don't think we should shy away from that. It's all through the Bible. Be good soldiers. Do you know the word soldier and army is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible? From David's great armies, Abraham had an army. They were all through there. They were supported by God when they were doing the right thing for the right king. Why should we be any different? So, wear the red, white, and blue. Get you a poppy badge. Thank someone. Put the flag out on Thursday. Any of those things are fine. Not required, but strongly suggested. You know, I don't know about, I do know some of you have lost loved ones in the war. And I use the word lost totally incorrect. Because someone who dies or serves for a reason, be it in the church, be it in the community, be it in the military, their work was never lost. Their lives ended tragically and maybe early. And we've got a lot of them coming back because our medicine is so much better now. We've got a lot of wounded veterans, wounded warriors coming back. Greet them. Thank them. Just tell them that God loves them and so do you. And appreciate what they did. They'll feel better and I would surely hope you would as well. See, the gospel bleeds over into our daily lives as well. That old Sunday school song. Now, you've got to be old to remember this. But it goes like this. I may never march in the infantry. Right, Pam? Yep. Ride in the cavalry. Fire the artillery. But I'm in the Lord's army. So today, consider yourself a veteran of God and working for Him. You may never have to go in a battle, and I certainly pray none of us do. But we're in a battle every day. And we're not fighting the Nazis. We're not fighting the Mujahideen. We're not fighting the Shiites or any of the African tribes. See, that our enemy is far greater than any of those. We're fighting the devil, who has minions of warriors who are trying to come down on God's people. So when a hardship comes your way, first of all, say, did I cause this? And second of all, say, Lord, protect me. Get me through this. And we'll be a whole lot better off. Our hymn of invitation decision day is hymn number. I didn't write it on my hand, Pam. 406. Think about what goodness God has left. We are still a free country, and we should use it to benefit the kingdom. Hymn number 406. Stand with me as we sing, as Pam leads us.
O Master, let me walk with Thee. Service free to strain of toil, the fray.